Good afternoon. My name is Radosław Guziński. I work for a Danish company called DHI Grass, and we work with satellite remote sensing. And just to avoid any confusion, we are not connected to the Grass GIS project. We only use it, despite the similarity in the name. So I'll be talking about the one of the outcomes of a project which we have. The project is called Global Wetland Africa, and it focuses on increasing the capacity, so capacity building for wetland monitoring in Africa using remote sensing data. So firstly, why are we focusing on wetlands? Well, they are one of the very important ecosystem types. Here it is expressed in monetary terms, where the wetlands provide over 50 trillion or close to 50 trillion US dollars worth of ecosystem services, mostly through water filtration or flood protection. But they're also very important in biodiversity terms or general ecosystem functioning terms. So because of this importance, there's this International Convention on Wetland Protection. It's called the RAMSA. And the most important global wetlands are within this RAMSAR convention. They're called RAMSAR sites. And close to half of those RAMSAR sites are based in Africa. So close to half of worldwide or globally important wetlands are based in Africa. And as part of this RAMSAR convention, the countries in which the wetlands are located have to do some reporting, for example, wetland inventory. But due to limited capacity and resources, many of the countries have not yet achieved their inventories or have not delivered their inventories to RAMSA. So there is a need to increase the capacity of the stakeholders to fulfill their obligations towards the RAMSA Convention. And with the new satellite sensors launched over the last 5 years, mainly through the Copernicus program, so the Sentinel satellites, but as well other sensors, Landsat, for example. Now there is a lot of free and open Earth observation data that is very suitable for this purpose of monitoring wetlands. At the same time, there are many open source tools, as we all know, because we are here for this reason, for GIS. The tools are as well quite mature and suitable for the purpose. So kind of what is missing is putting those two components together to help the countries fulfill their obligations. So this is where the this is where this Global Wetland Africa project comes in. It's sponsored by the or funded by the European Space Agency, and it was the work is done in collaboration with RAMSA. So the tool which is used for this capacity building is called Global Wetland Africa Toolbox. It's an open source toolbox which was developed during the project, and it focuses on six main wetland applications which are listed here, and later on towards the end of the presentation I'll go through them in a bit more detail. But the point is that for each of those wetland applications there is a processing chain within the toolbox, going from the very beginning, so from opening the satellite data in the native format that it's downloaded, through all the pre-processing steps, analysis steps, to deriving the final product needed for those applications. The toolbox is uses QGIS as it's a major component. So the QGIS serves as the graphical user interface of the toolbox. And then within the QGIS, we have this library of workflows. So for each of the wetland applications, there is one or more workflows, which you can see at the bottom there. They are basically step-by-step instructions guiding the users through the whole processing chain. And for each step in the workflow, there is the panel on the left where there are some, there is the description of why this step is performed, why it's important, and there are guidance about which parameters to choose, which inputs and outputs should be set. So QGIS is the you could say the main platform of the toolbox, but the actual processing, so the analysis of the data, the pre-processing of the data, is based on algorithms coming from many other open source projects. You're probably familiar with most of them, but maybe some people don't know Snap, which is the Sentinel application platform, which is a toolbox developed specifically for analyzing the Sentinel satellite data. Beam at the bottom is an older version of Snap. We have to use it because we are also working with historical data from Envisat satellite, and not all the functionality was transported or ported to Snap. As well, there are some custom R scripts and Python scripts which were written to fill in the gaps where existing algorithms couldn't perform the function that was required. So we have all the all the kind of algorithms available from the software, but everything is available through the QGIS graphical user interface and through the workflow. So it's very standardized, and the user doesn't have to go to the different software to get the different functionality. Yes, so why did we choose QGIS as the central component of the toolbox? Firstly, because QGIS has this processing toolbox. I don't know how many people are familiar with processing toolbox in QGIS, but basically it allows you to call the algorithms from the other algorithm providers. So basically for most of the software there, the processing toolbox allowed us to access the algorithms straight away. So basically we didn't have to do any work. We could base our development on what was already there. And the Global Wetland Africa toolbox is based on a previous similar software package, which was called VOICE, Water Operation and Information System, I think. And that was developed at the time of Quantum GIS 1.8. So back then, the processing toolbox was called Sextante toolbox. But the idea was the same, that you could access the algorithms, for example, from GRASS or from Orfeo toolbox within the QGIS GUI. Then QGIS also has this Python plugin framework, so it allowed us to extend the functionality if it was not required, if it was not available already in QGIS. It is user-friendly and widely used, so we conducted many trainings in Africa, and most of the users were already familiar with QGIS and used it before. So this is an environment that they already know how to operate in. And yeah, there's active development community, so the processing toolbox is becoming more and more robust, more and more stable. The user interface is becoming more and more user-friendly. And the software is continuously improved. And last but not least, it's free and open source. If it wasn't, we would not be able to use QGIS in this project. Okay, so what did we do to develop the toolbox? As I said, a lot of the work was already done for us because of the Sextante or later processing toolbox, which already exists in QGIS. But we had to fill in some gaps in the functionality, and we did it by developing QGIS plugins mostly. So there is a provider for algorithms coming from the Snap and Beam software. There's the workflows provider, and there we did some hydrological modeling scripts as well. Then throughout the development of the toolbox, we were quite active user of the processing toolbox, and also looking through the code. So whenever we found bugs or missing features, we did pull requests into the QGIS project. We did some processing scripts and models to automatize certain tasks within the workflows. And we created an installer as well, because there are all the different software components. So to make it easier for the users, there's one installer. So this is kind of the software development part, but probably even larger part of the project was designing the workflows for those six applications and creating training material. So basically the workflows capture the knowledge of the EO experts, which were part of the project consortium, and then it is delivered to the users in those easy to follow step-by-step workflows. So here I'll focus mostly on the software part. So going through those three plugins, they are designed as standard QGIS plugins, so they were kind of developed for the toolbox and are integral part of the toolbox, but they are quite generic, so they can be used as well outside of the toolbox. They are available in the QGIS plugin repository. So yeah, the first one is the algorithm provider for the Snap and Beam software. So many tasks required to process Sentinel data cannot be performed easily by other software apart from Snap. So that's why we imported only selected algorithms, not all of them. Snap has many more, but the ones which are required, we created this algorithm provider, so they are now available in the QGIS processing toolbox in the same way as GRASS algorithms or Orfeo toolbox algorithms or GDAL. The interface between Snap and QGIS is this graph processing framework. So this is a kind of command line interface of Snap, but it's a bit more than that. It also allows the creation of graphs. So an example is there. Basically, it's very similar to the idea of the QGIS modeler, except the graphs in Snap. So in the QGIS modeler, the output is saved to disk between any two algorithms. In the Snap graphs, the output, the input is read once, and then only passed through memory, through all the steps, and only saved at the end. And there are some other kind of enhancements there for processing large data sets. So for example, automatic splitting of the data set into tiles. So we use this graph processing framework interface, which means that we can create graphs using the QGIS interface, and then they can be run within Snap, and also graphs created within Snap can be run through the QGIS processing toolbox. The second plugin was the processing workflow provider. So basically, yeah, it allows the creation of those step-by-step workflows. So on the left here is the dialogue for the processing workflow creator. So you have the list of all the processing toolbox algorithms and models and scripts, and they can be selected and put into the workflow. So we have different tabs here for the different algorithms. Yeah, again, on the left is this information panel, which can be styled using simple markdown syntax to give user instructions about what is happening in the step. And then when the workflow is saved, when it is run, we get a dialogue like this. So again, the instructions on the left, and then the setting of the input and output parameters. And when the current step is finished, the automatic step automatically appears. And the workflows can be combined into workflow collections. So basically, it's a directory holding the workflow files, which are just text files. And this directory also contains a collection configuration file. And basically, a collection has its own icon and has its own style. So for example, here, we can see that the headings are in green. So this is for the styling. So you can kind of make each collection look unique. And then the collection, all the workflows within a collection appear as separate category in the processing toolbox. But as well, there is this button on the toolbar, which allows you to display the collection dialog, so the library of all the workflows within each collection. And it's easy to create new collections and new workflows, so it can be used for other purposes as well. And then the hydrological model. This is not really a plugin. It's more of a collection of scripts. So it's fully Python-based. And we also use Taudem for some DM processing tasks. It has QGIS processing GUI, and it's a quite simple hydrological model based on the Budeikov framework. So it's a rainfall runoff model and has a river routing component as well. It is designed for poorly gauged basins, so it's supposed to kind of use not so much in situ observations. So all the kind of data required to run the model should come from satellites. So it mostly depends on rainfall. And there's a publication there if you are more interested. This was done by our colleagues from DTU, which is the Danish Technical University. Okay, so we have those six product types, and then we validated them at a number of wetland sites in Africa to see that the workflows are fit for purpose. And now going quickly through the different product types. So first one is wetland inventory. So basically classification into wetland, non-wetland. It uses high resolution data, so Sentinel-1, Sentinel-2, Landsat-8. So both radar and optical. And it's based on time series analysis of those observations. Wetland habitat mapping, so more detailed classification within the wetland areas delineated in the previous product. Again, based on high resolution satellite data. And using Landsat, we can go back in time. And then, for example, here it's a wetland in Egypt, and we can track the evolution of land cover classes associated with our anthropogenic land use, for example, aquaculture ponds and artificial surfaces, how they grow over time in the wetland area. Another one is inundation regimes, which tells us how often a given area was flooded in a specified time period, also the minimum and maximum surface water extent. So this tells us something about the wetland health. There's the water quality of open water bodies, so suspended sediments, chlorophyll concentration, and floating vegetation. This is based on medium resolution data mostly, Sentinel-3 and MERIS, so 300 meter resolution. But as well, it can be performed using Sentinel-2, so 10 meter resolution or 20 meter. And then we can monitor, for example, sources of pollution within those water bodies. River basin hydrology, simulating or modeling discharge at a given point in the river, important information for wetland managers, but as well can be used for things like flood forecasting and flood warnings. And finally, mangrove mapping. So again, kind of classification workflow, specifically focused on mangroves. Okay, so in summary, the toolbox is free and open source, so based fully on open source software. It's easy to operate because of the wizard-based processing. It's user-friendly because it uses QGIS as the main user interface. And just the last slide, what's going to happen next. So the toolbox is already, a couple of versions of the toolbox are already out. Currently, they are based on QGIS 2.18, but we got some funding to continue the development. So now we are working, or we'll start working very soon, on moving everything to QGIS 3. So the plugins, the workflows, the scripts will be imported to QGIS 3. And then, as well, one of the main issues that our users experience is lack of reliable internet connection and computing resources. And when processing time series of Sentinel data, you usually need to download quite a lot of it and to have a good machine. So we are kind of building a cloud-enabled toolbox, so the users can still use the QGIS interface, but then when they want to execute the algorithm, it will happen on a server based on QGIS server, and then the final result will be downloaded by the user. So they won't have to download the input data, and they won't need to have the computing resources at home. Okay, thank you.
Okay, does anybody have questions? I'll bring the mic to you. Yes.
Thanks. Hello. Yes. So in the recent versions of QGIS, the Tau Dam was removed as a provider. And I was just wondering, does that affect your toolbox as the output and the package itself?
It was removed as a provider coming by default with the processing toolbox, but it can still be accessed as a plugin. Or if it's been removed as a plugin, then we'll add it back as a plugin. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Sorry, it's just I did not ask the question, well, actually, because it was removed because of a license, change in license, I think. And it's open source, I think, but with a different license. And I was wondering whether that licensing would create an issue for you or not.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea. I mean, I didn't look at the licenses, but I think if they're all open source, we can still package them. I mean, they're kind of installed separately. So there's this one installer, but it kind of calls the installers of the different software. So the user has to accept the license conditions of each software separately. So hopefully that would address this issue. But I guess we'll have to look in more details.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
Can you maybe tell us more about documentation for the project and the tool? Where to find, or what type, or if you have tutorial or whatever?
Yeah, they are tutorials, and I think they are available from the project website. If they are not, then there is a contact form on the project website, and then we can distribute them, but I think they should be there. So they are the tutorials for the workflows, basically. And then the documentation of the actual software, well, the Git repositories are there, GitHub repositories. And yeah, I mean, the plugins themselves are not super complicated, so there's not so much to document there.
Any final question? Okay, let's thank the speaker again.